You may have heard the story about the Trappist monk who was in an order of silence where they had all taken a vow of silence. And actually, in this order, he was allowed to speak two words every 3 years. Okay? So after his first 3 years in the monastery, he came forward to the Father Superior, and after one whole year of prayer and meditation and being in the silence, he said, "Bad bed." So he went back into the silence for another 3 years, continued to pray and continued to meditate, and this time when he came before the Father Superior, his words were, "Bad food." So, three more years passed, three more years of silence, and he came back, and this time his two words were, "No TV." Three more years passed, a lot of time in the silence. This time he came forward carrying his robes and carrying his sandals, and his two words to the Father Superior were, "I quit." Well, the Father Superior looked in his eye and he said, "You know what? I'm fine with that because you've done nothing but complain since you've been here." And so today we continue our series based on the book Practical Metaphysics, A New Insight and Truth, compiled from a class taught by Unity icon Eric Butterworth in 1981, was when this class was actually taught. And as we've said before, and many of you know, the word metaphysics comes from the word the root meta plus physics, which means together, beyond the physical world. And so Eric Butterworth actually says, metaphysics is the practice of relating to a reality beyond appearances, which is what our way shower Jesus showed us so many times. And Butterworth says, living in this greater reality, we can achieve healthy-mindedness, a greater peace of mind, more prosperity, and greater harmony in every aspect of our lives. So the chapter we're going to look at today is chapter 3, and it is entitled The Art of Thinking. This is a quote that we all know from Eric Butterworth. He says that metaphysics is not about changing the world, but about changing, guess who? Ourselves, absolutely. Bringing us a new perspective about what goes on in the world. The crucial key to effective living, according to Eric Butterworth, is not about finding a way to set things straight. It's not about straightening people out. It's not about getting the world to stop acting as it does. Well, darn, we want to do all those things, don't we? But instead, it's fundamental to all of Eric Butterworth's teaching, is what the slide says. Our job is not to set things right, but his original words were, but to see them rightly. And to Butterworth, right seeing means we develop a higher perspective, a perspective, as in the words of Emerson, from the highest possible point of view. Now, for the average person, thought is a reflex. It's just a reflex. We respond to things. And so let's just see how that works today with an experiment. Oh. Wake up Paul Henley. Well, I'll let it go. Maybe I started something I can't finish here. I don't know. Okay. I think, Paul, one thing is obvious, Paul. You weren't a receiver, were you? Okay. All right. I can tell that. Okay. So just as Paul should have had an immediate reaction to catch the ball, but he did have a reaction eventually, I threw it unexpectedly. And in our lives, when things happen, we react quickly in both thought and feeling. Based on what happens in our outer world, we can become happy, inspired, affirmed, or we can become discouraged, worried, and fearful. Butterworth notes that most people assume that the thoughts we have are produced by circumstances and experiences. Things happen and we react. Have you heard people say, "Well, of course I'm upset. You'd be upset too if that happened to you." Anybody ever hear that? Anybody ever said it themselves? I think I have. So For the average person in that mindset, life becomes a continuous reaction to outside stimuli. And if we ask such a person, how are you feeling today? What are you thinking today? The person might actually say, well, I don't know. First, I have to check the weather forecast. Then I need to check the traffic report. Then I better look at the stock market. Then I better find out what kind of mood my partner's in. And then I better see what my boss has for me when I get to work. And so Eric Butterworth says, someone may do something to you and may give you a perfect opportunity to become upset if you want to be upset. But if you don't want to be upset, you don't have to be. Incidents happen and they're always on the outside. What really is important is what happens in our minds as a result of our thoughts, our attitudes, our feelings, and our mental habit patterns. Your thoughts are always your reaction to the incident, but the incident itself did not cause your thinking. So when was the last time you heard somebody say, she makes me so mad, or that really teased me off? We see people hear people saying that all the time. Butterworth says, of course, this is not correct at all. It is absolutely not correct. No one ever makes you mad. No one ever makes you upset. You are upset because you are upsettable. You allow yourself to be upsettable. You're angry because you have an anger consciousness that, when touched like a little red button, causes it to blow up within yourself. The anger is already within you, so you react accordingly to the level of your attitudes, according to your consciousness. Now, I've had people actually say to me, and maybe some of you have heard this too, well, the thoughts just keep entering my head. I can't help what I think. Well, if you can't help what you think, who can? Really? I mean, we are in charge of our thinking. And the good news for us is to consider every single one of us, without exception, is given dominion over our thoughts. It's a spiritual power. It's sometimes called the power of power or the power of mastery. And it begins very early in Genesis when God said, let us make humankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And we know in the Bible, animals, especially fish, always represent ideas. And this whole verse says we have control, we have dominion over those ideas, always, always. Even the wild ones, and even the ideas that creep up on us. We have dominion. Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore wrote, humankind is the power of God in action. To us is given the highest power in the universe, the conscious power of thought. Butterworth says, if we don't become aware of the power to control the thoughts that run rampant in our heads, we lose all sense of mental mastery. He suggests that when you find yourself becoming unduly upset about something that has happened, take a good look within. Take a good look at yourself and ask yourself, why do I allow people or experiences to determine how I'm going to think or feel or act? And sometimes I think we might have to go a little deeper than that, and we might have to ask ourselves, what am I telling myself about this event? Why am I getting so upset about it? Sometimes it's a trigger from our childhood. We might have to do a little work around that. Butterworth writes, the first step in the art of thinking is to know that no matter what happens in your world, no matter what happens out there, you always have a choice. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be unhappy. You don't have to be worried or fearful. You can choose to think positively or creatively if that's what you want. You can become the master instead of the slave. Now, this teaching, like a lot of Unity teachings, might be simple, but it's not always easy to live, is it? It's not always easy to master, especially, if you have been thinking the other way for a long time. It's not easy to think happiness when you're unhappy emotionally, because like the monk, your happiness is busy manufacturing more unhappy thoughts to fill the negative state of your consciousness. And it just becomes a vicious cycle. This is what the phrase thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind really means. Thoughts held in mind reproduce, grow after their own kind in our consciousness. And of course, whatever's in our consciousness is what we draw ourselves to in the outer world. Abraham Lincoln said, "Most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be." And Butterworth agrees, saying, "The key to a positive life is simply determining that we do have control and we can think the kinds of thoughts we want to think." It's making the commitment, though, at the beginning of the day, and maybe I would add, even setting our phone alarm throughout the day periodically, to remind ourselves that we're not going to let any person, condition, or situation determine how we think or feel. We are not going to let anyone or anything take away our joy. It's a precious gift from God, and we cannot give it away. Butterworth reminds us that each one of us is really a thinking center within divine mind. Divine mind is our essence. We are in it, all of it, all the time. Charles Fillmore wrote, "Divine mind is the one and only reality." This means that divine intelligence is actually at the back of every one of our thoughts. Of course, we direct this intelligence into the molds of our consciousness, into the molds of human awareness. It's sort of like, I'll go back to that one. It's sort of like Niagara Falls. Divine mind emanates ideas constantly, more than we can even grasp. Just like Niagara Falls that pours out 150 gallons of water per second. A lot of water. Now picture yourself preparing to receive that flow. Water so powerful, so gushing, pounding down, never ceasing. You come before this mighty power. You grab your container and you hold it up. And your container is? Anybody know what that is? You see it? It's not a trash can, it's a thimble, right? It's a thimble. Tiny little device. It will not hold much, it will not hold much water, will it? Your consciousness is like that. It determines how much you can receive of the divine flow, and negative thinking shrinks it. So that's what happens when we get in this negative mindset. Likewise, we can distort divine intelligence of the universe when our thoughts become distorted. I'll go back if I can. When our thoughts become distorted and twisted. Many of you know that I have a koi pond. That's my hobby, and this is my pond. And it has an upper pond that is the source. And at the source, you can maybe see the waterfall there, it is pure and pristine. But as it flows down on the rocks, it picks up dirt, debris, algae, resulting in dirty water. Trust me, when I clean the filters in the skimmer box, it's not a pretty sight. They're really dirty, even though the water is pure at the beginning. Thus it is with our consciousness. We can distort divine ideas that are pure in their essence, but we can distort them with our negative thoughts, fears, desires, and beliefs. When we think of ourselves in certain habitual patterns, such as the terrible twos that we talked about a couple weeks ago, remember, we think we're too old, too young, too stupid. We think we're too immersed in poverty or conflict or sickness. Then we actually, pardon the expression, muck up the divine flow. We block it with our thoughts. We need to clean our filters. Instead of dwelling on thoughts of lack and less than, we can follow the advice of Paul to the Philippians when he said, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Okay, now I'm going to put a statement on the screen, and I want everyone to look at it. I'll read it in case you can't see it, and then I want you to show me with a thumbs up or a thumbs down whether you agree with the statement, okay? And you know what? Up or down, none of this, okay? You have to make up your mind, okay? So here it is. It's something you've heard before. You are what you think. Okay, let's see. Up or down? Okay, I see some downs, but I see more ups. We've heard that a lot. Typically with Eric Butterworth, he has a different slant on it. He says this saying that is so often repeated is totally inaccurate. He says you are not what you think. You are thinking what you think. And there's a difference. The you that thinks is more than the thoughts that are swirling around in your head. You are unique and whole. You have this whole identity with an infinite mind, and you have the power to think what you want to think and to react as you train yourself to react. Butterworth says this is an important fundamental truth. It's about waking up to the truth of your being. You are a creative expression of divine mind. That's what you are, no matter what you're thinking. So now in Unity, we like to use denials and affirmations to really condition our consciousness. That's what they're for. So Butterworth says, the person walking down a dark street at night who keeps on repeating, I'm not afraid, 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 that person is focusing on what? Fear, absolutely, fear. A better denial would be to recognize the feeling, because, you know, sometimes our feelings are there, to recognize the feeling and gently say, this feeling of fear has no power over me. I'm greater than this fear that I am feeling. And when we do our affirmations, saying something is true doesn't make it true. That would be hocus pocus. I could stand here all day long and say, I'm an 18-year-old Olympic star, Olympic, you know, competitor. I could say it until I'm blue in the face, and you know what? In this lifetime, I don't think it's going to happen. And the reason it's not going to happen probably is it's not based on spiritual truths. Our affirmations must be based on spiritual truths. If I affirm I'm strong, I am capable, I am creative, I am resilient, that will manifest. And we don't make things happen because we say them, but we say what is already true in the absolute realm of the divine. There's a lot of misunderstanding about affirmations. The thing is, our souls are pivotal. We can look at the issues in our outer world and we can accept them as our only reality. We can only believe in what we see and hear. Or we can look at the issues of the world and face them as we are, instead of as they appear. One viewpoint looks at what's going on and says, well, that's it, the world's falling apart. The other viewpoint looks at the same events, exact same events, and instead of reacting to them, grasps a greater unseen reality. And Butterworth says, don't stop reading or listening to the news unless you have not yet found the capacity to keep the news on the outside. Watch the news in a state of consciousness in which you can be a creative asset to the world. If you're always reacting to how terrible things are, murders, crime, politicians, and Eric Butterworth said these words 37 years ago, not today, okay? Some things never change. Then if you do that, if you get caught up in that negativity, you are in a consciousness really a part of society's problem, because the same negativity goes around and around. It can never stop by itself unless someone demands, stop the ride, I want to get off. And that doesn't mean I close my eyes and deny something is going on in the outer. I know the conditions are there, but I have the power to tune in to a higher dimension. As Paul says in Romans 12:2, there's Eric Butterworth, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in other words, Butterworth says, don't let the world around you mold your mind from without, but let God, divine spirit, mold your mind from within. And Butterworth advises, now as you listen to the news, do not succumb to group fear. Subtle suggestions are mass media designed to control our thoughts and incite reaction. Don't listen to all that. Become centered in divine mind and know what is spiritually true. Know that what's going on in you, no matter what's going on in the world, what's going on with you is positive and creative. Know that you have the capacity to keep yourself in perfect peace, and beyond that, to be part of a solution to the world's problems. I would add to that, crisis calls upon us to be the Christ. It calls upon us to be who and what we really are. And that's the only way that we're ever going to solve problems in society and into the world, according to Butterworth. Now, he also says that doesn't mean that a positive person never has a negative thought. We're still in our human skins, right? It just means that we don't have to give our negative thoughts a pillow and invite them to stay with us, right? We can let them pass through. Even Jesus had negative thoughts, and he dealt with them frankly and openly. When he went into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting, he had plenty of negative thoughts, as symbolized by Satan. We talked about that story not too long ago. Satan is always a symbol of humankind's limited consciousness. It's that symbol thinking. And Jesus, in this story, is being tempted by his own negative thoughts. But notice he does not blame himself, nor does he identify with the patterns that come into his head. He says, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, negative thoughts." Jesus shows us we can say no to negative thinking. Butterworth says it's as simple as turning off the TV when you decide you don't like the show. We don't just sit there and keep watching, do we? We have the remote control in our hands. And in the book, he tells the story of a woman who wrote a letter to the editor of her local newspaper. And her letter read, "I think it's terrible, the awful shows on television that me and my family have to watch every single evening." And the editor responded in a cryptic note, just a few words, "Well, what about the off switch?" Right? What about the off switch? So when we realize the power of the mind, we know we can switch from one kind of thinking to another. We can become watchers of our own thoughts. That's what Eckhart Tolle says. Become watchers of our thoughts. And when we realize we are sinking into stinking thinking, we can use the old Unity mantra, cancel, cancel. We can say, "Get behind me, Satan. I refuse to go along with this anymore. I am a spiritual being. I know that my life is constantly in the divine flow." Butterworth says the point is that your mind, it is your mind, and you have the power to think what you want to think. Now, of course, it takes commitment, discipline, and as much attention as we tend to give to outer preparations. How many of us, he asks, stand before a mirror in the morning and give a meticulous attention to our appearance, combing our hair, perhaps shaving or putting on makeup, selecting the appropriate clothes for the day? And he says that's always fine, it's all fine. But many give great attention to how they face the world physically attired, but how many of us give any attention to how we face the world, how we plan to face the world in terms of mental consciousness? And it's much more important than how we're dressed. Are we ready to face the world with our mind positive, at peace, and poised to behold all from that highest point of view? Butterworth says, "I don't care what kind of complex you have. I don't care how deep-seated your inferiority or failure complex is. You are not a failure. You are a child of God. You are not an inferior person. You are a person with inferior thinking." And once we recognize that inferior thinking, we can change it. And we can do that today, Eric Butterworth says. You can change the inferiority complex and the failure complex. You can change the sickness complex. You can change any complex in your head by determining that there are things going on within you, but you're still in charge. Life is lived from within out. You may not be able to change the world around you, but you have the opportunity, and I would say the privilege, of altering your thoughts and changing your world. You can be as successful and happy as you let yourself be. You can give thanks for this precious gift of the art of thinking, the renewing process that is taking place right here, right now, and always. And so it is. And now, as we prepare for prayer and meditation, let us affirm together the great truth about our God. And this is printed in your bulletin for those of you who are here for the first time. And let's say it together. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.